You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on August 14th, 2025. And this week we're talking about marriage and whether it should be expected for Christians to marry. Statistically, the age at which Americans are getting married for the first time has been rising over the last several years. For various reasons, marriage is being delayed or even avoided altogether. Well, should it be this way among God's people? Should the young people growing up in the church be encouraged to find a spouse and get married? Or is remaining single an equally worthwhile option? We're going to consider some points to help us answer those questions today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/08-14-25. Now for our discussion this week. The chart on the screen, or for those who are listening, you can find this in the show notes. But this chart shows the average age of one's first marriage in the U.S. And the data records marriages from 1890 through 2024. And these numbers are from the U.S. Census Bureau. The youngest median age for one's first marriage was in the 1950s, and it has risen steadily ever since. And also, it is noted that since 2019, they included same-sex marriages in their count. And if we took those away, then the age would even be higher. Now, of course, this is the general population. The median age among religious people, specifically those who claim to be Christians, well, that is a little bit more difficult to track down. However, it is often the case that the church follows the trends of society. And just from observation, it seems that many young Christians are either delaying marriage or have no interest, or at least less interest in it than in previous generations. Well, when this happens, the result is that young people are single longer, young Christians are single longer, and maybe they may never marry. So the question we want to consider is this: should marriage be expected among Christians? Now, before we answer that, let me be clear. The question is not whether it is a sin for a Christian to remain single. That's not what we're talking about. This is also not about coercing someone to get married before they're ready. It's also not about rushing into marriage only to have trouble later because the spouse was either not eligible to marry or the spouse was not a worthy mate. So with those disclaimers in place, the question is, should we encourage young people to marry? Is it to be expected that Christians get married? Well, there are a few points to consider about this. Number one, why did God make marriage? Before creating the woman for the man in the beginning, God explained why he was doing this. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." There are two points that we can see in that verse. The first is that it is not good for man to be alone. God designed us to have relationships with other people. We see this in how he designed the home, how he set up the church, how society works in general. But marriage is not just one possible relationship that is equal to others, as if having lots of friends or getting along with your neighbors is a substitute for marriage, or that marriage is unimportant then. Marriage is special, which is the second point in that verse. The wife was created to be a helpmeet for her husband. She is a partner in life and the one that he should be able to trust with everything. The wise man said, "An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." The husband and wife complement one another. They are better together than they are apart. And it is in this loving, committed, stable relationship that God intended for children to be brought up. This is for the well-being of the children, for the parents, and even society at large. So knowing that God made marriage and why he made it should cause us to recognize its importance and also want to be part of a marriage that is patterned after God's will. So number two, marriage is to be held in honor. The Hebrew writer said, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So holding marriage in honor means that we are avoiding fornication or any type of sexual immorality. And in fact, God designed marriage as the relationship in which we can fulfill our sexual desires. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God put those desires in us when he created us, and it is in marriage that he gave us the opportunity or gave us the way to fulfill those desires. But holding marriage in honor is also about respecting the institution of marriage. So we already said, it is not good for a man to be alone, but it is good for each man to have his own wife. And our society has attacked God's institution of marriage with divorce for any cause and same-sex marriage and sex before marriage. And as a result, as many in society are pushing back marriage until they're older, many are deciding that remaining single is better than marrying, and even some of those are in the church. So what about that? What about those who defend being single? More and more Christians, it seems, are quick to defend being single, almost to the point of criticizing not those who are married, but for those who speak highly of marriage for Christians. They might point to Paul, who was unmarried, and see, well, look how much good that he did. They might cite Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about how it might be better not to marry. Now, of course, those words have a context. We'll notice those here in just a moment. But some go so far as to act like it is better to be single than to marry. Now, before we go any further, disclaimer, as I've already said, there is no sin that is committed by one remaining unmarried. We also don't want anyone to rush into marriage before they're ready, and we don't want Christians to settle for just anyone, especially a non-Christian, because of the potential problems that come with that, just because they feel like they need to get married. So one can be a faithful Christian and remain single. However, among Christians, someone who remains single should be the exception and not the rule. But what about what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? In verse 8, he says, but I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them to remain even as I. And remember, he was writing that as someone who was unmarried. Then later in the chapter, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. That means if he's not married, it's good to remain unmarried. Now, it's important to note that his comments about it being better for one to remain unmarried, as opposed to getting married, those comments did not have a universal application. He was talking about things in view of the present distress. Now, he did not specify what exactly that was, but the fact that it was the present distress means that it was not an ongoing situation. There may be times in which it is not wise for Christians to marry, particularly during the times of persecution, but that is a temporary situation, not an ongoing one. However, if Christians do remain single, they need to recognize the opportunity that that provides for them in the kingdom. Notice what Paul said, but I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Paul was unmarried, and that enabled him to be able to travel all over the Roman Empire preaching the gospel. That would have been much more difficult if he had a family to take care of. You can compare that with Philip, who was in Caesarea with his family for over 20 years, remaining there preaching the gospel, unlike Paul, who traveled all over the place. I talked about that recently in an article that I'll have linked in the show notes called Pay Particular Attention to Your Children. If you haven't read that, I encourage you to check that out, especially if you were a preacher. But Paul, since he was not married, he had more opportunity to go and travel and do all these things in the cause of Christ. So if you're a single Christian, that does not mean that you focus more on yourself. by filling your time with video games or travel or finding fulfillment in your pets. Not that there's necessarily anything inherently wrong with those things, but they are not a replacement for marriage. Paul said if you are unmarried, you can focus more on pleasing the Lord. This can include spiritual growth, participating in the work of the church, helping those who are in need, and so on. So there's nothing wrong with being single, but we should not use that as an excuse to just focus on ourselves. And then finally, marriage should reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. Paul wrote about this in his letter to the Ephesians. Regarding the wife's role, he said, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." And then regarding the husband's role, he said, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." So the roles of husbands and wives remind us of the relationship between Christ and the church. Paul continued, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." When marriage operates as God intended, one man and one woman for life, raising children together, proper gender roles, and all of that, it shows a representation of Christ and the church to the world. Now, of course, this does not mean that every Christian must be married. We've already talked about that. But it does mean that if we can have this relationship or work to make the opportunity to be part of a relationship like that, it is worth pursuing. It is a great privilege and an honor to be part of a marriage in the way that God designed it. Do not allow anyone to convince you that marriage is not something to be pursued or desired. Marriage as God designed it is good, and we must not allow the world to convince us otherwise. So in summary, in our society, people are getting married older than they were in previous generations, and there's nothing wrong with marrying later, but we do need to be careful not to adopt some of the world's ideas about marriage. Marriage is good. It is a blessing from God, and it is a great privilege to be part of a marriage that is following God's plan for marriage. If you are married, use that marriage to bring honor to God. And if you are not married, understand you can faithfully serve God throughout your life without ever marrying. At the same time, recognize that marriage is both a blessing from God and a way to honor God. It is good to desire and pursue marriage, no matter what our culture says about it. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to that chart I mentioned at the beginning and also some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/08-1425. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, you can check that out on Substack. That will be linked in the show notes. Also, if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.